since I am free from all. In the name of Jesus, amen. Folks of a certain age will be familiar with a 1985 movie called The Breakfast Club. Ally Sheedy, Molly Ringwald, Judd Nelson, some others. Everything in this movie takes place in a single day, specifically on March 24th, 1984, when five students report to Shermer High School at 7 a.m., hence Breakfast Club, on a Saturday for an all-day detention. Punishment for some individual cases of rule breaking, one for skipping class, another pulling a fire alarm, one bringing a flare gun to school, one joker for duct taping a poor kid's buttocks together. Whoa. A voiceover at the beginning describes the five as a brain, an athlete, a basket case, a princess, and a criminal. And that's actually what makes the movie so good, that these five students are just so different. They'd never be caught together in the same room, let alone speak together. But what makes the movie so profound is that they not only talk and joke and argue and laugh and cry, but they also become great friends. So the question you might ask, well, why didn't that happen before? Well, if you've been to high school, in one sense, you never truly get out of high school. We carry that around with us, I think. But if you've ever been to high school, you know the answer, because when your identity, your who you are, is a brain or an athlete or a basket case or a princess or a criminal, when that's just who you are, you hang out with the brains, the athletes, the basket cases, the princesses, the criminals, because if you don't, if you fail to live up to the expectations of those groups, those tribes, those cliques, you risk getting the boot. Risk having no identity at all and eating your cafeteria tater tots all by yourself. So what happened with the Breakfast Club? Well, they got a new identity. Surprisingly, one is detainees. But they got a new common identity that trumped all those others and freed them. Freed them from those identities, in this case, to be friends. A new common identity that freed them to be different. Just like St. Paul of that epistle reading, that second reading we heard. And I think just like you and me. First, imagine Paul. Imagine the Paul, Saul, if you want to call him that, before Jesus got a hold of him. Imagine Paul as a student at Shermer High School. What's his group, his tribe, his clique? Well, it turns out we don't have to guess very much, because in more than one place, in more than one of his epistles, Paul tells us, he tells us how important it had been for him to identify as a Jew, as one of God's chosen people, and not just as any Jew, but as a Pharisee. As one who took that chosenness very seriously and made sure that it was apparent to everyone in every aspect of his life. And not only a Pharisee, but a Pharisee among Pharisees. The absolute top of his class. The kind of guy who would be absolutely crushed to get an A-. So I guess in terms of the Breakfast Club typology would make him at least partly the brain. And in the movie, by the way, the one who gets the detention for bringing the flare gun is the brain. He brought the flare gun to school intending to use it on himself because, you see, he'd gotten an F in shop class. And a brain can't face the prospect of telling your parents you failed a school class. But we'll come back to that. And I suppose Shermer High, Paul isn't only the brain, because he's also somewhat of a tough guy bully, not just a Pharisee and a top of his class, but a zealous enforcer, not just a buttock taper, but a fetterer of hands and feet, driven even to kill to show everyone, to show God how serious who he is. But what about you? Now you are at Shermer High. What's your group, your tribe, your clique? What's your go-to when you need to get your who am I? Who or what do you rely on to tell you that, to tell you who you are? If it's difficult for you to identify the tribe you get your who am I from, here's some diagnostic questions you might ask yourself. Whose approval do you need? Whose attaboy or go-girl do you absolutely crave? Whose disapproval would crush you? Who would you most like to see fail? What are you good at, or what do you have right now that if you suddenly stopped being good at it or lost it, you'd find it really hard to get out of bed in the morning? If you're exhausted right now, are you exhausted because you feel that you can't keep up? And if so, who are you trying to keep up with? Spend a little time thinking on those questions. And I think you'll soon come to see which group, tribe, clique it is that you go to for your who am I? Or to use Paul's language that we're going to get to, whoever it is whose expectations we become enslaved to. And enslaved is just the right word, because as much as we labor to get into some group, and really on our own we can't help it, we're never really comfortable there, can't rest there. Being the jock or the princess or the criminal or perfect mom or good provider or whatever. But whatever it is, it doesn't fill us up. It doesn't give us the identity we really long for. One that's sure and we don't have to work for and aren't constantly afraid of losing. So in the Breakfast Club, Claire, she's the pretty princess. Oh, so pretty. You're so pretty. But she really wishes she wasn't. It didn't have to be. Because she's the victim of debilitating peer pressure. And since her constantly bickering parents ignore her, she uses her looks to get attention. Or Andrew, the athlete, the bully with the duct tape, turns out his dad hits him. And so he's gotten the idea that the only way to be a big man is to make others feel small. And I already mentioned Brian and the flare gun, because when all you have is your brain and your brain flunks shop class, why go on? And Allison, she's the basket case, does weird stuff, can't help it really. She does it on purpose to get made fun of, because at least that's better than being a nobody. And turns out she showed up to detention simply because she had nothing else to do. See what I mean by we have all these identities, all of us. They had all these identities just like we do, these acts they put on to fit in, to hide, to cover up, but never rest. And they can't help it. But Jesus can. And Jesus does. Listen to St. Paul again. Since I am free from all. Some translations say, though I am free, or because I'm free, but since I am free from all that, since I've been emancipated from all that grasping after a big dose of be somebody from some group or tribe or clique, but now that I've been set free from having to be a top-notch Jewish Pharisee enforcer brain bully. You see this, since I am free, that's Paul looking back restfully, joyfully at his earlier life and seeing what it really was. Seeing that life as what that quintet from Shermer High saw their lives as a slavery. A slavery from expectations to to-do lists and to to-be lists. Looking back and saying, thank God, I am free from all that. Because something happened. And what happened? Jesus happened. Jesus happened to Paul. Paul got bejesus. Jesus showed up and smacked him in the face with a gospel of I love you no matter what. Said smart, dumb, fat, skinny, you're mine. Said top of the class, dropout, pretty, ugly, dweeb, cool, whatever you are, you have a place. The risen Jesus gave him a sure identity, one surer than death. The gracious Jesus gave him an identity he never had to prove or earn or virtue signal again and again and again. The forgiving Jesus gave him an identity he can't mess up. The all I have is yours Jesus gave him an identity that made all that other stuff that he didn't really like anyway, all that stuff that had been pulling his strings and that he thought so important, gave him a new identity as a child of God that made all that other stuff look like a big pile of poo. If you don't like the word, it's in the Bible, Philippians 3, verse 8. And just so Paul, so you. Who are you? Are you a brain, or an athlete, or a basket case, or a princess, or a criminal? No, you are not. At least not only, at least not first. More likely, you're exhausted from thinking you have to be all that and burdened under the pressure and the bullying and thinking you have to get straight A's. But you're free. You are free from the enslaving expectations of to-do lists and to-be lists. You're free because something has happened. You're free because Jesus has happened. And because Jesus is happening right now, and Jesus has done it all and says, you are mine, and says, you have a place. You are free. And your name tag reads, baptized child of God. It says, eternally beloved. It says, fully forgiven. It says, massively mercied. You are free because Jesus died, and Jesus promises you are free. And Jesus rose, and the promises of one with death behind him, the promises of one who has broken death, cannot be broken. Since I am free from all, since you are free from all, I really do like that movie. Wonderful movie about these people who found out, these young people who found out who they really are. Came in at 7 a.m. on March 24th, 1985, thinking they were one thing, had to be one thing, and left that afternoon something different. Left freed, happy even. But there's one thing that goes unanswered in the movie. And that's what happened Monday, March 26th, when they all went back to Shermer High. Did the common identity, simply as friends, friends who now knew each other's wounds, did that common identity forged on the 24th stick? Or on the 26th, did they fall back into the slavery of being, of having to be brain, athlete, basket case, princess, and criminal? Probably. I probably would. I think I'd probably need a detention every week. Need a breakfast club every Saturday morning to get together with some people who all week are getting told who they are as a brain, athlete, basket case, princess, criminal, etc. Get together with people just like me who hide a bunch of very similar hurts under seemingly different identities. Get together and be reminded again and again and again that's not who you are. Or if Saturdays were tough, maybe we could do it on a Sunday morning instead. Maybe figure out somewhere to go where each of us could be together with people just like us who under seemingly different identities hide a bunch of very similar hurts. Maybe we could figure out somewhere to congregate and be reminded again and again that those hard-to-shake identities are not who we are. We could figure out somewhere to just sit and be reminded of who we really are. That we're free. That we're free from having to check all the boxes because someone has checked the boxes for us. Free from having to impress people so we can actually love them. Free from having to make a name for ourselves because someone else has given a name to us. Free from having to earn a living. Free from earning a living because someone lives for you and would rather die than be without you and loves you so much he would never take his eyes off of you. Wouldn't it be super cool if we could find such a place to come every week? If you ever happen to find some place like that, for Christ's sake, tell someone. Better yet, tell everyone. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.